Welcome back to Talkville. Folks, hey, thanks for joining us again. We're very excited. The first episode, the pilot episode, went so well. We were so pleased. Ryan, congratulations. Tom, congratulations.
Thank you.
First, we want to thank you for your support on the launch and the new pod. We are seeing all the comments and how much you guys dig this, and you're on board for this long journey that we're taking, and we couldn't be more excited and happier. We are, however, there's some technical difficulties, and we want you to bear with us. Episode 2, Tom's audio wasn't great. Stick with us because you don't want to miss out on the stories and the special guests we have coming up. And, you know, what's really cool, by the way, let's get into episode. Forget what I said. Let's just get into episode number 3. This is Hothead. You know, I was talking to Tom. I was talking to Al Goff, one of the creators of Smallville, and asked him what he remembered. First of all, we've been getting a lot of comments saying that Greg didn't die. The bug guy didn't die, and that he comes back in the homecoming at the season finale. So,
I think that's right.
Come on.
Yeah. Well, people were commenting.
I don't know this yet.
You wouldn't know. You haven't seen that episode yet.
I didn't Spoiler. Remember anything. But, you know, fans are on top of it. They're on top of it. Also, a good friend, Leah, who's a fan, she said that I didn't count one of the saves when you saved Lex in the car. So we're going to have issues. We're going to miss stuff. This is fun. But we'll try and listen to you and get on track. But Al also remembers that in the beginning of the episode, beginning of shooting Smallville, this is interesting. The early episodes have so many stories. They were shooting them out of order up to the last minute, and people were getting fired left and right. Crazy. And he also tells me that, I shouldn't give out spoiler alerts, but how many seasons Whitney was on the show, how many seasons Pete was on the show. But 5 directors worked on Metamorphosis episode 2. 5 directors, the episode from last week. They shot more days than the pilot. They kept shooting and reshooting sequences to get it right. Tom's haircuts are all over the place. And that's something that Al really remembered. So,
wow. Yeah, I didn't remember any of that, but it sounds like we were in quite the conundrum there.
It was. I remember it was a bit of hell in the beginning. I remember just like, you're shooting this day. Now you're shooting this day. Oh, we're reshooting this. We're doing this. I remember that stuff. It was, I don't remember as crazy. I think when you're working more internally like those guys, you see it more clearly. Look, if you're just joining us, I don't know why you would be, because listen to the other 2 episodes, but if you're just joining us, this is your first time with us today. Tom, what would you say the podcast is about for everybody?
I think it's, it's been about 21 years since the show started, and I think it's taken that long for us to step away and be able to revisit it and watch it. I know you haven't seen many episodes, if any, because Lex wasn't around that much. I was there a lot, so I have a lot of sort of behind the scenes or kind of stories that are fun to share that people don't know.
We got a lot to talk about in this episode, Hothead. If you didn't get a chance to call in and leave your questions for this episode, make sure you get some in the future for future episodes by calling our hotline. That's 213-538-2883. 213-538-2883. Make your messages short. Just say your name, where you're from, and keep them short or you're not getting on the air. Not to be a dick, but we like to keep things moving along here. And we got to mention our socials.
So the handles are Talkville Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, and Talkville Pod on Twitter.
Yes. And without further ado, let's get into season 1, episode 3, Hothead. Ryan, hello.
Hi.
We're very excited about this. The title is Hothead. It aired October 30th. 2001. The director was our good friend Greg Beeman, who directed a lot of the episodes up till about season 4, a lot of the premieres and finales, right? Right.
Well,
right,
he went on to become our showrunner.
Went to be
shortly after this.
And boy, did we love him, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a treat. The writers were Al Goff, Miles Muller, Greg Walker, Jerry Siegel, and Joe Shuster. I don't think Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster wrote those, but those were the sort of the guys who created Superman. Ryan, were you going to say something?
No, I'm getting everything queued up on my phone. I got notes. If you need any information, I got it.
Oh, good.
I got the IMDb page up. That was what I was doing.
Oh, if you have any insight, please yell at us. The guest star for this show, Hothead, was Dan Loria as Coach Walt. You might have known him from the Wonder Years. The synopsis, Coach Walt Arnold is obsessed with winning. Meteor rocks in his sauna have given him the power to cause objects to burst into flames. Clark Kent defies his father and joins the football team. Lana Lang defies expectations, quits cheerleading, waits tables. Lex Luthor defies his father in a business plan that saves several people their jobs. The coach attacks the principal, a player, and a journalist before Clark stops him.
I think the episode could have been named Defiance.
It could have been. You know, this is this episode. You're more lenient than I am. Overall, I thought there were some enjoyable moments and there were some really cool effects with the fire, and we can get into it. We're going to do a little play by play of what happens and we can comment on that. But what were some of the things that jumped out at you, Tom?
Well, I really enjoyed this, episode for many reasons. I think part of it is one, you know, this is a reoccurring theme that I joke around, but I was there a lot. So I think I understood why things ended up the way they were a little bit more than maybe when you just watch it.
Right.
Which I don't know if that's good or bad, but there's things like, you know, when the fire comes out of the sprinklers around the football team, working with Dan was great. I really liked him. I know you had a slightly different experience.
No, Dan, I liked. That was a different guest star. I liked Dan Loria. I didn't work with him, but I had a dinner with him at John Glover's house. John Glover had a dinner like not too long ago, and Dan Loria was there, and I had forgotten he was on Smallville, but we talked, and he was a really good guy, and he wants to come on my Inside You podcast, but I like Dan.
Yeah, the Wonder Years.
Yeah.
He told me a quick story about that, where he used to do all of his dialogue around the dinner table on the Wonder Years to pieces of tape because the kids were already shot out.
It could, because they only had like to work 8 hours a day, right?
Yeah.
They could only work 8 hours a day. So Ryan, ultimately, I mean, we don't have to get into your, you know, how you really felt about the episode, but what was your initial thought watching it? What were you thinking?
I mean, you know, another freak of the week thing.
Another freak of the week.
But the choice to do it with like such a staple of somebody who's like at the high school, like the football coach, like that should be like, because I know in the next episode, they're just going to move on.
Right.
This was a huge deal. Like the coach of this winning high school football team, like lit everything on fire and, you know, just disappeared. I mean, I think that's going to happen a lot. So, I mean, that's something I'm going to have to get used to.
Yeah. I think that does happen a lot. And but, eventually things kind of take a different turn.
But, you know, a fun villain, some fun fight sequences. And then, some CWE teen moments.
Definitely some moments. A little Lana moment, storming off from Whitney. And let's get into a little play-by-play. Coach Arnold is seeking his 200th win in the last game of the season and cooling off after a victory in his sauna, whose rocks are covered in kryptonite. So
he was, I think he was coming down off of a good win because this guy will do anything to protect his legacy. I mean, I think one thing to remember, I think they came into a tough season, which is why Clark is invited to be on the team. That's one of the favorite things about this is because what would Clark Kent do with his abilities if he could play football?
Yeah, it could be
Jonathan's
dangerous.
Struggle as well. Dangerous, yeah.
Could be very dangerous. And it was kind of like, oh my gosh, when he decided to join, I'm like, they're all gonna know him. And that was pretty cool. Principal Kwan, this guy, uncovers that the coach has been aiding football players to cheat in order to play. The coach tells him to stay out of it. The coach tries recruiting Clark to play on the team just like his father had years prior, but Jonathan Kent is hesitant in letting Clark because of his freak athletic skills. You know, I always loved those scenes with Clark and Jonathan, the father, son, those moments where he cares about his son and he's just looking out for him. And it's just, did you enjoy shooting those? What was it like shooting those scenes with John, those father, son moments?
And John, I think we may have talked about this before, but John really had that energy, that sort of hand on your shoulder, sort of John Wayne, steady kind of guy. And listen, I'm looking out for you. Just trust me. And that was on and off screen. I'm really happy that he was the guy to, because I was a Dukes of Hazzard fan, you know.
Yeah.
So I had to try to work past all that.
Back at Luthor Corp, Lionel visits Lex to make sure the company is being run his way, and with projections being missed, wants workers fired. Lex wants to do the contrary and pushes to hire more to compete with local competitors. Look, this is the beginning of Lex and Lionel. And these are scenes that I really appreciated. I always loved working with John Glover. He made me a
better. You knew you had to bring it. You had to bring it.
And he made you be. He made you better. He really made you better. There was something intimidating about him. Maybe it was his two-time award-winning Tonys that did it, or just his calmness. But you know what I found out about John Glover is that in the pilot episode, when he came on, I was so intimidated by him, and I didn't think he liked me. I was really worried, like, oh, my God, I got to work with this fucknut. You know, that's how I felt. But then I confronted him about it later on. I was like,
how did you confront him? You were like, hey, do you like me?
Because I just said, hey, I've always felt like you didn't really like me in the pilot. He's like, no, I was so nervous. I had just gotten the part, and I was trying to deal with things. And so a lot, you know, that tells you a lot about like anxiety and life in general. It's sort of like, hey, it's not always about you. And he was going through some stuff, but working with him was just a wonderful experience.
He always brought something to the scenes that you wouldn't have anticipated.
Yeah.
And you know, when you're working with him, he'd always surprise you. It was a gift.
He was always just very fun and flamboyant on set too, just bouncing around and having a good time. Later on in the pilot, like I said, he was just in his head, and he, like everyone else was, we were like just trying not to get fired and trying to, you know, do a great job.
But he also, I know we're on a John Glover kick right now, but he wasn't easily rattled on set, whether he had to wait, whether he had to go fast. He just was like,
he's a veteran.
He was just like, he's fluid
in
everything he did.
Yeah. He was a veteran. Did you enjoy, Ryan, the scenes with Lionel and Lex?
Oh yeah. I mean, it's always fun when he comes in with his just gorgeous mane of a hair.
Making fun of me.
He's obviously flaunting it. And he's trying to make you feel bad for being his son.
Yes.
It's evil.
And you couldn't tell. You couldn't say to John, it's like if you said, oh, why are you so mean to like, no, I love my boy. Yeah. I'm just trying to help him. I'm trying to teach him about life. I love him. And it was like, oh, my God, it was so creepy, but it worked. Quan approaches the coach and lets him know that he had tried to get him suspended with the school board and is trying to get more students to come forward. This enrages the coach, who sets fire to his office and later Quan's car before Clark rescues the principal.
You know the lesson there? Bring a witness if you're going to confront somebody like that.
Jeez.
I mean, I'm going to get you tomorrow, but I'm going to go home in my car right now. And the coach is like, no, you're not.
You know, my thing was, did you not feel like, and it wasn't Dan Loria's fault, but it was just like he was angry right off the bat. There was no sweetness. There was no fucking kindness. There was no gentleness. There was just a hothead. Hence the hothead.
Winning. He just wanted to win.
But I wish there was something. I wish there were moments where he acted a little differently, you know?
Like he should have gone into like his the closet in his office, and he'd have like a paper mache collection, and he'd be like dusting them off.
I don't know about that. But look, again, you touched base on this earlier about the fire stunts, the effects. And those were fantastic. You know, I don't know when Quan was walking out of the coach's office how he didn't see the fire, right?
You mean in the torch?
Yeah, and he's just watching, and the coach is just watching the fire.
Okay, he lights the TV on fire right behind him, and then he just goes,
pfft. Yeah, he's like,
and then he leaves.
Yeah, then I think he leaves or something.
And he walks right by the fire extinguisher too. I think you can see in the shot.
Yeah, there's no sprinklers going off.
He's like, you better deal with that.
But when he blows up Quan's car, you know, that was pretty intense. Explain those scenes, Tom, when you have a bunch of fire. And I mean, is there a lot of fire going on in the stunt when you're doing it?
Yeah. So what they did a lot of times is they would have some practical fire, and then they would shoot a separate plate and enhance or add some fire after the fact. A lot of that is safety related, because that car blowing up, that's probably 8 hours just to do that because there's so much safety involved. And a lot of the times I just wouldn't even be around for that stuff. Cause like, why bother? You know, I wasn't just going to hang out for 8 hours to see a car blow up.
Right.
Especially if I could go home.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot of preparation, a lot of good safety stuff going on.
Talkville is brought to you by Factor. I love Factor. I spent so much money, Tom, going to the grocery store and then making meals and spending so much time, and then the ingredients get wasted and you don't, sometimes you don't even cook them, and or delivery services and paying so much money. Factor meals you will absolutely love. These meals are made in 2 minutes. They're delicious. There's 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week. You'll always have new flavors to explore. Make today the day you kickstart a new healthy routine. What are you waiting for? I mean, this stuff is just great. It comes to your door, you put it in the fridge, and you cook it when you want to. You're going to save so much money, and you're going to have great meals.
I enjoy going to eat it.
Yeah.
Does that sound weird?
No, it doesn't. Warmer, sunnier days are calling. Fuel up for them with Factor's no prep, no mess meals. Help meet your wellness goals in time for summer thanks to the menu of chef-crafted meals with options like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. No matter how busy you are, you'll always have time to enjoy nutritious, great-tasting meals.
Treat yourself to restaurant-quality meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, and blackened salmon.
Keep kitchen time to a minimum. Factor meals are ready in 2 minutes. No shopping, prepping, cooking, or cleaning up.
Enjoy effortless support for your lifestyle. Choose from 6 menu preferences to help you manage calories, maximize protein intake, avoid meat, or simply eat well-balanced.
Choose from 6 menu preferences to help you manage calories, maximize protein intake, avoid meat, or simply eat well-balanced. Head to factormeals.com/talkville50 and use code talkville50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code talkville50 at factormeals.com/talkville50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
The coach interrogates his players to find out who ratted on him. He finds out it's Trevor, and enraged, shoots fire from the sprinklers. This is what you talked about earlier. Chloe sees it all happening and records it to appear in the next edition of The Torch. The coach catches wind of Chloe's story and sets the newspaper room on fire with her in it. By the way, how did they get the fire out of the sprinklers?
That must have been digital.
I don't think it was digital.
I don't think
they poured gasoline through there and lit it.
I don't know. I mean, it looked pretty practical. What do you guys think?
It looks, I don't know.
It looked pretty good.
It did look pretty practical.
Well, wasn't I it? Know that there wasn't fire coming out of the sprinklers. That was after the fact.
Unless they had some kind of hoses, and I don't know, but if that was an effect, bravo, bro. Bravo.
Well, this is what we've talked about this before, that finally visual effects were coming to television in that way.
It was impressive. Lucky. And Bill Millar was our at that point. He did the effects and stuff. So the coach catches wind of Chloe's story, sets the newspaper room on fire with her in it. And Clark, of course, sees from outside the school and rushes in to save her from being engulfed. These dramatic things happen at the school. We don't see many ambulances. We don't see fire trucks. We don't hear about it. There's no sort of suspension. I guess you just have to suspend disbelief.
I mean, the Smallville Police Department really just...
they had it in this episode. What is going on? Everything's on fire. The coach's office. Chloe's torch office.
Well, also, like, the car blows up, and then there's like Clark doesn't have his cooling breath yet. Like, the car just blows up.
Cooling breath.
And then that's it, or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
And then, you know, this is the beginning of a long run of Clark just being there at the right time to save people and them not just being like, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank God you were here.
So at this point in the episode, you've saved the Principal Kwan.
Yeah.
You saved Chloe. Mm-hmm. Has anyone died at this point? I don't think so. Clark goes looking for Trevor after this, finds him kidnapped and surrounded by fire extinguishers. Trevor confesses that it's been the coach, and Clark goes on the hunt for the coach. Clark finds him in the sauna before a game and accuses the coach of his misdoings. The meteor rocks in the sauna make Clark sick, and the coach traps and locks him inside.
Why didn't Clark bring Coach Quan with him to confront?
Yeah, I just wanted to handle himself. Clark's handling things himself.
Okay.
It would have made things a lot more difficult.
Isn't he trying to be his own man in this episode?
I mean, I guess because later his dad saves him and then you never see Jonathan again.
Yeah, and that's another thing. During the game, Jonathan notices his son missing, goes searching for him in the locker room. Seeing rocks being thrown at the sauna, Jonathan saves Clark from inside. Clark then confronts the coach in the locker room, who becomes so enraged that he engulfs himself in flames in the showers. Now, does he die? I assume he dies. He engulfs himself in flames, killing himself.
I don't know, maybe he shows up in the last episode of the season.
Like Greg the bug boy. Now, listen, were those, that had to be tough. There's all that fire. There's the stunt. There's the coach going through the window. There's all these things. And I was thinking, oh my gosh, that's a big day for Tom.
It's a little bit of a juggling act, because here's the thing. You can't, the easiest hard stunts to do are the ones at the end of a scene. But when you're fitting a stunt, especially when it's fire and explosions, in between an actor doing different things, it's very time consuming. Because like my stunt guy can't, in a fight sequence, you can have your stunt guy fight over the shoulder and those are pretty quick. When it comes to like big explosions, people getting thrown places, you know, I got to walk in, I got to fall down. Then my stunt guy has to do it. You know, we all have, it's like a, you do everything two or three times.
Right.
Or, you know, it's two or three times the amount of time. It makes no sense. But but again, I was learning all that. I just figured that's how you do it.
Yeah.
I've only done a couple episodes of television.
It was a heavily effects show.
It was.
I mean, it just was big in effects, and the story was sort of, you know, lost. It was kind of like a in and out kind of episode. I know you're laughing at me because I'm saying that. It's not that I hated the episode. I didn't. There were some lovely moments. And I thought, you know, the coach had some great moments. He was very intense, but I had my issues with it. Later that evening, Clark and Lana share a cathartic moment on the football field, sharing that they want more for each other. And yeah. I really liked the scene where you guys scream. And I really thought your acting was good in this moment, where you're like, wait, what now? Or I forgot what you said, but she's like, we should scream. Yeah. Yeah. Wait, you did something and it just seemed very natural. And I was like, hey,
thank you.
That was good, well, Tom.
Because in watching it, I could have just gone, okay, and just done it. But there's that little bit of hesitation. And I think that plays between the two characters of trying to feel each other out a little
bit.
Yeah.
You still don't know whether, you know, you're like, is she into me? Is she not into me? Do I have a chance with this girl? Mm-hmm. You're kind of playing it safe and, you know, you're being respectful.
Right.
When you were,
it would have been funny if I was like, now, and she's like, yeah. And she's like, one, two, three. And then I screamed, and then she was just like, ah, idiot.
You moron. But it was touching. Wasn't it touching? That it shot was. When they look up and they scream.
Yeah. It was.
How many takes was that?
Oh, I don't know, but it definitely is a Greg Beeman sort of shot.
Yeah, that overhead looking up, kind of big crane shot, dramatic, ends the episode.
It also helps because I think so much of this episode, I mean, we have some of the stuff on the football field establishing shot wise, but a lot of everything is very contained in rooms because of the fire or maybe just out in the parking lot. And it's the first time in the episode where I feel like the air is allowed, you're allowed to breathe as an audience because of that shot, which I think is cool.
At the end, Lionel returns to find out about Lex's plans, and the two decide to fence to settle their dispute. I mean, of course, that's what a father and son would do. At least that's what Lionel and Lex would do. Lionel wins and orders Lex to cut the workforce. Instead, Lex finds a way to cut budgets elsewhere, angering his father. So it shows
now,
you.
Yeah. So you've been asking me about stunts. Let me ask you, what was it like fencing with John? Was there a lot of rehearsal and choreography? Was he good? Were you bad?
It was mutual love. It was mutual respect. The stunt guys were great. The fencing coach was great. I remember we took a couple hours outside and really learned a couple of things. We might have done it 2 days. And it was fun. It was fun to be outside. It was fun to learn how to fence and look realistic. Yeah. And I thought we played it off well enough where it looked like we kind of knew what we were doing. Yeah. And
It was well edited.
Yeah, well edited. But again, I like that early on we're seeing the, you know, this is Lex fighting his future, his destiny. Yeah. This is Lex trying to do the right thing. He doesn't want to fire people like his dad wants to. He is trying to do the right thing. He's trying to help Clark. He's doing all these things. And I think that's maybe why a lot of people really liked Lex in the beginning. I think they liked him even after, because they see how hard he tried to be the good guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think that was good. And I thought that when I was watching it. Interesting things of note. This is the first episode of the series to be directed by Greg Beeman. As we talked about, he would go on to direct many, many episodes and run the show. Yeah. Lex telling Dominic to say hi to his sister was cold. And a great line. I loved saying it. I remember.
Was that written?
It was written. It was written. And by the way, that actor was, what's his name's son? Sean Connery. That's Sean Connery's son.
Sean Connery.
He was a delight to work with. Yikes. Clark telling Chloe that he joined the football team, not a cult. Yikes. We went there, folks. The fire sprinklers were badass. The school newspaper named The Torch was set on fire. Thought that was kind of funny. The save count. In this episode, he saved Principal Kwan and Chloe. He couldn't save the coach.
Well, is it only counting Clark's? Because Jonathan had a save. Jonathan saved Clark.
I think it's Clark saves.
Only Clark saves?
Yeah, because I don't think Jonathan saved many more people during the run of the show. I don't know if we're going to add those.
I feel like is he gonna have to drag Clark out of some situations some more? Is he gonna have to pick you up a lot?
That's a funny question. I don't remember exactly when, but I remember there being a question of how heavy is Clark? Like trying to rationalize that because of who he is. Like, can you just pick him up and move him like you could Whitney?
Yeah.
I remember at some point that came up somewhere on the show.
Hey, by the way, in that stunt when you're on the football field and you're was that you running?
The actual running and jumping over the guys was not me.
It wasn't.
And by the way, I think there's another episode where I play football and I got jacked for that. Like, I loved all the football stuff. In fact, we came back one time, I think it was one of the first seasons, we'll get to one of the first episodes of one of the seasons later, and it was our first week that we shot something outside. And there were all these like, Blue 24, blah, blah, blah. And I lost my voice that night. And it was like, I had to like talk the whole next day in every scene and go loop every scene that I was in.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it was horrible.
You had to re-record every line from the episode
I had to work with actors who I was like basically whispering and they had to talk normal. It was like a really good lesson of whatever. But back to Hothead. A lot of that was stunt, a lot of that because of efficiency and choreography. But I mean, I was happy. I love throwing football and being on the field. But some of that stuff's just leave it to the professionals.
Yeah, I always say that too. And the older I get, it's just like, let the other guy do it. Let that guy, you know, I did a show and let the stunt guy do most of the stuff. And
they're also training. I think that, you know, there's this whole thing of like, do you do your own stunts and this and that? Well, you know, some stunt guys have anywhere from, I don't know, they might have 3 days to 5 days on a television show to rehearse something,
right?
Where the actor doesn't. So you're really going to expect an actor to go in and nail something like that? Like, yeah. Do yourself a favor, production. Have the stunt guy do it.
What would you say overall the highlights were? I mean, we talked about the effects. What would you say some of the highlights of this episode were for you? And then we'll get into some calls from some people.
I think it was meeting Dan and working with him because I had recognized him as like an actual actor from TV when I was a kid. And that happens a lot during this series where I got to work with people, like I said, John Schneider. That was probably the coolest thing, kind of watching the effects and some of the stunts and beginning to understand how it operated and the time it took to do some of these things. So those are the highlights that come to mind.
Who did you really enjoy working with at this juncture? Like in episode, so by episode three, were you really enjoying working with everybody? Kind of different experiences.
Yeah, I mean, this is a recurring theme that I go to, but I was the least experienced actor out of everybody. So like even Kristen had been on a television show. Allison would come in and be able to like do 10 things at once and say all this dialogue, and I was like, oh my god, she's amazing. So it was, I was very impressed and just trying to like see how people operate and learn from them and try to apply it in some way. But it also made everybody really interesting to me, which then helped Clark. You know what I'm saying? Like Lana being on the football field. I mean, she's beautiful. She knows what she's doing. Clark has no idea. Like all that stuff works for the character. So
when's the episode where you finally kiss? Do you have any idea? I don't have any idea. I guess that's really just going to be a surprise to everyone, isn't it?
Ryan,
yeah, don't tell me.
Yeah, I guess we can't tell Ryan. That's right. Ryan, what would you say highlights of you for this episode?
Highlights? Yeah, for sure. The effects, the fire effects were fun. I mean, it was probably like a mix of practical and digital.
Right.
I thought they all looked good. The fight sequences were fun. I'm a sucker for a good football scene.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, the cold open.
That was great. The cold opening was really dramatic, really well directed.
Just unnecessarily. It was like, we want to recreate and what would have been out at the time. Like that, what the scene from The Last Boy Scout or
something. It was really dark like was, that. You're right.
Good. That's a good
grab.
Yeah. But yeah, but it had a pre Friday Night Lights feel.
I think
three or four years before it happened. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they, given more time and more budget, I think they could have really dug into the Friday Night Lights of it all.
Yeah.
You know, maybe Whitney's father, you know, or something. But, you know, and I want to make sure we don't miss this little note that the day scenes that we shot of the football, that was September 11th when the World Trade happened. So that was a very sort of, I don't even know what the word would be to describe that kind of day, because the that morning, you know, everybody saw what happened on the news and I didn't know what to do. So I went to work and a lot of people did, and there were F-16s flying over and it was really like, what do we do? And I don't remember who it was, but they're like, well, we're all here. Let's just try to, do something. Let's try to, you know, and so that was obviously very memorable.
I remember you guys all calling me. Because I was in New
York.
You
were going to fly.
And I flew the day before it happened from New York. Yeah. I flew the day before to LA. And it was, I still had that ticket. And it was crazy. I remember waking up and getting these calls and like, I'm here, I'm okay. And turning on the TV, and I was living in Kitsilano in Vancouver. I remember turning on the TV and seeing this happen. And it was so surreal. And I didn't have to work that day, but it was just numbing. It was a numbing time. Yeah. And I think that's, in part, why maybe Smallville was also successful is because the world needed a superhero. They needed something to escape, and some way to escape, and maybe that, you know, that was part of the reason. I don't know.
I think that, and this is in a lot of hero themed television shows and movies, is that people like to feel or want to believe that that person or that hero is out there, whether it's a superhero or a hero in general. I think that's a part of it as well. Yeah. How many different places did you live in Vancouver?
I lived in Kitsilano. I lived in,
you lived in a houseboat.
I lived in a houseboat on Granville Island. I lived at the Sutton Place. I lived near, I forgot what it's called, where the Vancouver Canucks play, and I got robbed. That's another story. I'll have to tell that story. Right. You know, when we get into the shattered episodes or the episodes where I'm in the mental hospital, we can get into that, because I remember someone breaking into my van and me attacking them. Like
I just want to put it out there that, you know, I think that should be a 2-hour podcast. We should really dive deep into that one.
We could. Oh my gosh. I was going crazy. That was a tough time. We'll get into that when we get into that. And Ryan has no idea what's in store.
I don't.
But there's some good stuff in store right now, guys. This is the old hotline. So this is, you know, you guys can call in and you can leave messages, which we talked about, 213-538-2883. We got some really cool messages and we're going to listen to them now. This is Scott.
Hi, this is Scott Jansen. I'm a fellow actor from Alberta, Canada. I'm just wondering, for Tom Welling, did you have to train to know how to play football in this episode, or did you already know how to play football? Thanks.
Well, thank you for your question. The short answer is no, I did not have to train. I'm a pretty decent football
player.
Maybe not player, but I can throw the ball pretty good. In fact, I was throwing the ball around so much in between takes. They were like, stop it, because something happens to you while you're throwing and then you can't be in the scene. But a lot of that stuff was the stunt guy running and people hitting each other. So the answer is no.
Hey, Tom. Hey, Michael. This is Joseph Martin from Nashville, Tennessee. I wanted to comment about episode 3, Hothead. More so a question. Dan Loria was a favorite of mine from the Wonder Years, and I loved him in this episode, and I just wondered, Tom, how it was to act off of him and what you may have learned from him. Thank you. Bye.
Yeah, thank you. I touched on this a little bit earlier that I was, first off, intimidated, but he was able to put me at ease, and I saw a guy who was very focused. Wasn't distracted by everything going around. And when they roll cameras, he would just sort of be in the pocket, as I like to call it. And I was sort of watching him and trying to learn from it because, he was such a big figure in my mind, in my life. So, yeah.
This is a question from, Matt. Let's listen to Matt's question. Here it comes.
Hey, Rosie and Tom, this is Matt. I can guarantee you that Greg did not die in Metamorphosis because he was on the last season when Clark went to Homecoming. Also, Hothead, how many takes did it take you to hit the glass when you were trapped in the sauna? Was that something you were actually throwing the rocks at? Or how did that happen?
I think it was, that's a tough question because I'm not sure, but they replaced the glass with something that's pretty breakable, like candy glass. And I don't remember it being a long time. I mean, maybe one or two. I mean,
things probably. Pretty much, they had their shit together and you were able to do a couple takes with everything mostly.
Yeah. Yeah. But interesting that came to mind. How many times?
Greg is alive.
This is Tom White in Louisville, Kentucky. I just wanted to comment on Tom's question about filming Hothead on the day of 9/11. Just like when JFK was assassinated and the Beatles hit and gave people hope, give people a distraction, I think that was part of the Smallville success was that it was the perfect timing that it did. It did give a profile of a hero, and it was just another takeoff and something to lift the spirits. And I think that was a great reaction. So thank you guys for Talkville. It's a great show.
Thank you.
That was great. No, but it was a really, I mean, it's just what we were talking about.
Yeah.
And how important it was. And I think that, you know, everybody needs a hero. Everybody needs escape, like we talked about. And it was the right time. It was just it was a bad time in the world, in our country especially. And I think Smallville helped people escape a little bit and smile. And, so thanks for your thoughts. And here we go. Here's Maya. This is Maya. Let's see what Maya has to say. Thanks for the questions, guys, and the statements.
Hi, it's Maya from Toronto. I never watched Smallville. I know you're shocked. So my question is, what do you think it is about the first few episodes that drew people in and made them become such big fans of the show? Thanks.
Wait. She's asking because she's never seen it and she might watch it?
I guess so. We've got to get Maya to start watching the show. That's what's happening here. What is it?
Maya,
what is it about Smallville? What is it, Tom? Because I could tell you a few things, but you know what I'd like to hear first? Why don't we ask Ryan what it is? What is it, Ryan, about Smallville in the first couple episodes you've seen that you think back in 2001, people stuck by us, they watched in, tuned in, and this became a hit show?
Let's see. Besides the sociopolitical context, and I think there another thing that was interesting to people is it was a fresh take on Superman. Oh. And because we had in the 70s and 80s, you had just the movies that were, very, very popular. And then the 90s had there was like a steamy Lois and Clark show or right. something like that.
Right.
And I think, this one sort of took it back to a more innocent time in, I know it's not we're never going to say Superman, but it is, you know, it's Superman's life and it's sort of like an origin story, which we hadn't really seen before. And
it's a story before the story.
But it also sort of put it in the context of a very watchable family teen drama.
Yeah, you didn't need to know that he would go on to become Superman to enjoy the show. But no. I did. Sorry, I have a question. What was the socio-political aspect?
Oh, well, like 9/11. We've already...
Oh, yeah, I thought you were talking about the show itself.
No,
I was like, I'm missing. Was I just
wanted to,
something?
I just
evil?
Wanted to not say the phrase 9/11 again, and now I've said 9/11 three times.
Yeah, I agree with Ryan on all that. I think that it was a compelling idea. You know, it's a story before Clark Kent becomes Superman. It's his adolescence and the fact that he was friends with Lex Luthor, and that is just a really compelling story on its own. And how each of them go on to do different things. One goes takes one path, one takes the other. And it was also, I felt like the cinematography, I felt like you're watching a little movie every week. The quality of the show was unlike most shows out there. It looked great. It sounded great. The music, the score, the opening credits, the everything really just gelled and worked together to make a really good show. Sure, there were problems. I have problems. Everybody who watches the show loves it, has problems. The freak of the week gets old. There's just certain things that you're like, oh, why is this? There's always going to be issues, and people are going to write in and ask questions. But for some reason, and a good reason, people stuck by the show for 10 years. And to have such longevity is pretty astonishing, especially in this day and age. And like, I don't know. I think the characters were really important too. I think I give us credit that, you know, they created characters that were likable, lovable, relatable. Everybody can relate to different people. There's a test, a quiz you could take. Bryce sent it. I don't know where it is, and I want you to take the test, Tom. But you answer all these questions, and it will tell you which character you're most like out of Smallville. So you're like, which house would you prefer? Which this? Which that? And you know who I was? Does anyone know? Guess.
Lana.
Correct. I was
really?
Lana.
I was totally trying to be funny.
I was Lana. I took the quiz, and I was Lana. Bryce, please send Tom the quiz, and you'll give it to Ryan too. I want to see who Ryan would be. I'd be curious. But thanks for the questions. Thanks for the support and the love. And again, just know that the next few episodes, the sound quality on Tom's end isn't great. But after episode 6, it gets really good. We figured it out. We just shot a bunch at the same time. But the episodes are good, and I think they're fun, and I think they're compelling enough that you'll stick with us. You'll tell people the show wants to grow. We want you to grow with us, so we stick around. If you stick around, then we're going to stick around. So that's pretty much where we're going. To rate this episode, you know, I have the old Rosenbaum rating system. 3 roses is the best, 2 roses, 1 rose, then there's the middle area is the heater. It's right down the middle, the heater. And then there's 1 bomb, 2 bombs, and an absolute Rosenbaum is like the worst thing you've ever seen. So what would you rank Hothead and the Rosenbaum system? And remember, 3 is the best. What would you say? I'm gonna hand it over to Tom first.
This is a tough one because, again, I feel like if somebody said what is Smallville? And I showed them this episode, I think they would have a really good idea about what the show was like. And I think that's a big part of it. So I'd like to go, I can't do 2.25, right? But I can do 2.5.
Well, hang on a second. I've got to fight this. Here's why you can't give, you can do whatever you want. It's your rating system as much as it is mine and Ryan's. However, you're saying that this is almost as good as the best episode that we'll ever see on Smallville, which hasn't happened yet. The pilot is a 3 rose. You can't give this a 2.5 rose. That's like saying this is just a little less better than the pilot, in my opinion. So I would just, when you think about things, think about the pilot's a 3 rose. Comparatively, what would this be?
2. You're right. It's a 2.
I'm going to give this, Ryan, I'm going to ask you. Tom gives it 2 roses. I think that's exceptional. That's forgiving. That's wonderful that he could suspend disbelief. And
you were hoping one.
I thought you'd probably give it a rose, which is still commendable. But
well, I there's nothing wrong with it. It's not.
No, don't be.
But I guess One doesn't mean there's anything wrong. Negative one would be something wrong.
Right. A heater means, even if it's a heater right down the middle, I call it a heater. If it's a heater, it just means it wasn't bad. It wasn't good. It was just kind of, yeah. That's what a heater is. So one rose is like, yeah, it was worth watching. It was pretty good.
So I liked you talked me into it. Number one.
You're going to give a one rose.
Yeah.
You know what? Ryan, what are you going to give it?
I was going to give it a one as well.
Give it a one rose.
I think Tom's right. Like if you were to show somebody what's this show about? Like, yeah, this one is like, this is basically it. Like if you were to break it down.
In a way.
Michael's going to just a heater for him.
It's more than a heater. And that's funny because a heater, because the heat, the school, the coach. I'm going to give it a half rose. I'm going to give it a half a rose, which means it was better than meh. It was like, it was amusing. It was, I'm glad I watched it. I wasn't blown away.
Like a clown?
I wasn't blown away. I thought, I forgot what I gave Metamorphosis, but the pilot was a three rose for me. So this is about a half rose considering, but it's still quality. It's still good for me. All right. So, you know, you guys are, you're fair. I'm a tougher critic, maybe. We missed Lex being saved during the car crash in episode one, which I talked about. And of course we talked about, and so did one of our call-ins, that Greg didn't actually die in episode two. I find that so funny that everybody knew this except us. I was like blown away. People are texting me. People are like, hey, you know, Greg didn't die. I'm like,
well, but you have to understand there's a lot of thought that goes into, on a show like this, not seeing people actually die. Because they want to keep it at a certain level of watchability. So,
right.
You know.
You're not wrong. In episode three, the dead and one dead, three saved. The coach dies. Clark saves Kwan and Chloe. Jonathan, of course, saves Clark. So I guess three saves. Bryce counted that as a save. He counts Jonathan saving as a save. So we are going to go with Jonathan saves Clark as a save.
A save's a save.
A save is a save.
Did he struggle picking you up at all? I don't. I mean, he strikes me as he's in shape in this show.
No, John's a strong dude. He knew how to like
scoop you up.
Yeah, I remember him just being like, "This is how you do it. This is how you get leverage. This is how you." He'd done stuff like this before, and I was like, "Okay, I'll just be passed out." Why nobody went back and got the kryptonite rocks out of there? I mean, those questions are never ending.
Now through three episodes, folks, we have four people dead and seven saved. And you can go. There's a link, smallville.fandom.com, where it's season one body count. Serious injuries and other crimes will also be noted, but only actual lives lost will be tallied likewise. So someone took the time to do this. Very interesting. I mean, it goes on from the beginning where Lewis and Laura Lang are killed in the meteor shower on screen. However, there are numerous other deaths, which we learn about in later episodes. I mean, people really paid attention and took note. And I mean, now when we go to cons, you understand it. You're like, you know, people were diehard fans.
Yeah,
it's hard to wrap your head around because I didn't watch every episode I was in the show. So were you. We were self-absorbed. We didn't. But to a lot of people, this show meant a ton, and their lives were absorbed from Smallville, and you see that. Yeah. And I think it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing to love something, to be obsessed in a healthy way about something. Pretty cool. I think we've gotten down to the part of the show where we have Ryan's favorite episode.
Oh yeah.
So Ryan. Ryan's going to write three scenes down. He's going to tell us them, and we'll guess which one is his favorite on the episode.
All right, three scenes. The first one, the rainy football scene, very Friday Night Lights-esque.
Very good.
Scene two, fencing with your dad.
Oh yeah,
that was over the top.
Sure,
fun. And scene three, fire sprinklers. Because what a weird effect.
All right, Tom, what do you think he's going to choose?
Number two.
He has chosen Lex and Lionel fencing scene.
Utah, give me two.
I'm going to say that he chose, it's either one or three. I'm going to go with one, the football scene.
Today was football scene.
Football scene!
Because I don't know how many of those I'm going to get in this show, and that one was like, that scratched an itch for me.
You liked it.
I do.
It was intense.
I do. It was great. I loved it.
Anything else you remember from this episode, Tom, that you want to talk about, or that's pretty much it?
Oh, I mean, the more we go through it, the more it comes to mind. I just getting to learn more and more about the people around me and the show that we're trying to make and how difficult it is, especially under the circumstances that we talked about earlier. Maybe that's why I tried to maybe even give it more roses early until you talked me out of it. But
great. Now people are going to get mad at me on the comment line. You can watch us on YouTube. The comments we love. I do read comments. I did notice a lot of comments about the sound quality in episode 2, which we've discussed, and that's going to happen for a few more episodes. But I love them. Keep them coming. Please subscribe to what were the handles? It was Talkville Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Talkville Pod on Twitter. We'd love if you gave us a review. We were number 4 on Apple Podcasts, I believe.
Really?
Doing really well. People are tuning in. I hope you guys continue to tune in. There's a lot of good stuff coming your way. We open the forum to you online. Yeah. Please share your thoughts. Tell us what you remember. Tell us what your thoughts on the episode were.
Tell us where we were wrong.
Tell us where we're wrong. I'm sure people are going to say the death count's wrong. I'm sure the save count's wrong. And this is what I love, because we have devotees. We have people who have devoted a lot of their time to Smallville. And a big shout out to Craig at Krypton Site. We did an interview with him, and we really appreciate it. And Jay Towers for the interview, and Joe at comicbooks.com or something like that. Joe, I'm sorry if I messed it up, but we did some interviews, and we really appreciate all the input. Give comments to Ryan. He's always a joy to be with. I really dig this. This is fun. It's fun for me to watch the episodes and then comment on them and try to be objective and real without pissing off the creators, who Al Miles do listen. And I know when I give them a half a rose, they're like, fuck you, Rosenbaum. But hey, look, this is real. I got to keep it real. What did you
guys
get?
I think you have to start saying Miles Millar then.
It's Miles Miller.
You sure?
I think it was Bill Millar who was the effects guy. But tell us what you think online. How many roses did you give it? Maybe you gave it 1 or 2 roses. Maybe we were wrong, but this is what we felt. Yeah. That is it for this episode, Hothead. Stick around next Wednesday when we look through next week's episode number 4 called X-Ray. And I remember there's a lot of good stuff in X-Ray. I think I can remember some stories too.
Well, we get to see the emergence of Clark's abilities.
Yes, that is true. That is true. It had to be an adventure for you to stay when you found out you have a new power that you could use in an episode.
Yeah, I was terrified.
Were you?
Yeah, I didn't know how to do it.
I remember I directed an episode called Freak, and it was the first time you did the powerful blow. And it was on our episode, and they didn't tell us till the day of. And I go, Glenn, how do we do this? Glenn Winter, the DP. We should have Glenn Winter on the show sometime.
Oh, for sure.
In the first 6 or 7 episodes, we don't have many guests, but we're going to get some guests on. And stick around. It's going to be great. Remember, the hotline number is 213-538-2883. And I guess that's it. I guess, you got anything else, Ryan?
No.
Tom?
No, I don't think so. I mean,
I think this has been a real treat. I think there's some episodes I'm really excited about coming up, and stick with us every week. We'll be here. You better be here. We need you. We love you. Thanks for all the support. And Tom and I will be in Boston August 12th. And Tom will be in New York the week before. Yeah. The week before, signing autographs by himself, but I'll be with you in Boston doing a Smallville Nights and some autograph signing.
Yeah, that's going to be a big one. That's going to be a fun show. We've been trying to go there for years.
Yeah. And by the way, if you want to be a patron of Talkville, I think people should become a patron. And all you have to do to join, to support the show, to give back, is go to patreon.com/Talkville, patreon.com/Talkville. And become a patron. Right now, we are going to give these are the folks on Patreon who give the show give back to the show. They really help the podcast continue to grow. You can become a patron by going to patreon.com/talkville. There are cool benefits from being a member, and we hope you join the family. patreon.com/talkville. And this is one of the perks. If you're a top tier, you get your name shouted out. Tom, I'll take the first three and then we'll continue that way.
All
right. Here we go. Nikki G, Leanne P, Raj C,
Santiago M, Suzanne B, Leah S,
Corey M, Callie D, Tom T,
Mark A, AJ underscore 800, and Sophie M,
Betsy D, Liliana A, Abby P,
Meg K, Chris F, Kimberly E,
Jeremy V, Michael H, Ray H,
Karen M, Design OTG, Danielle B,
99 more, Liliani or Lilani N, Catherine P,
we'll figure that out at some point. Brett G, Super Sam, Always S,
Farrell T, Ken J, Jeff E,
Estevan G, DJ Kento, Garrett W,
Just J, Tyler H, and Kimberly L,
Danny G, Teresa, Justin S,
Eric W, Tom N, Juan V,
Tony V, Veronica D, Rodolfo J, Jason W, and Nancy D.
That is all the top tiers for now. We hope to have more top tiers on our Patreon. Thank you for supporting the podcast. Thank you for getting this going. I can't believe we're doing this after all these years. I'm excited. Yeah. Tom, love you, buddy. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, sir.
Ryan.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we'll see you guys next week. Do your homework like we're going to do. Watch the next episode. X-Ray. We'll see you.